Today's opening tip, look at 7'2" forward Bol Bol go up and over Troy Daniels in Nuggets practice. Bol hasn't yet officially played a game for Denver yet, Paul. Could he be the biggest wild card in Orlando right now?
Listen, I'm not going to get hype off of seeing one highlight. I got to wait and see. He hasn't played an NBA, a meaningful NBA game yet, so I have to wait and see. Hold your horses.
Yeah, P, I'm right there with you. He got to show me some game time action. But listen, we knew that this kid was going to be special from the little sample size we've seen in college. But I'm right there with P. I got to see in-game action. It's easy to do in practice. But I need to see it when the lights are bright and when they hit the ice.
See, this is how I can tell you guys are NBA champs. The standards are very, very high. I do want to say that speaking of very tall humans, this morning I saw some of the Celtics, including Taco Fall, and they were interacting with a hotel employee who was behind one of those protective glass sort of shields they had set up around a food station. The problem is Taco Fall is so tall, gentlemen, that his face and breathing was over the glass, so everybody else was underneath it. He was up here. They're still working out some kinks here in the bubble, him and Bol Bol, of course. Welcome to The Jump, everyone. I'm Rachel Nichols here in the bubble in Orlando, and indeed I am alongside two NBA champions, Kendrick Perkins and Finals MVP Paul Pierce. And the biggest mystery, guys, on NBA Twitter has been solved. Yes, one of the guys behind the NBA Bubble Life social accounts is going to join us as well. So stay tuned for that. And coming up, we're also going to discuss all 22 teams beginning to intertwine with scrimmages starting tomorrow and whether a little super team is going to end up coming out of this. We'll talk about that in a sec, though, because we got a lot of good news coming in. I want to update y'all on some of your NBA brethren. Marcus Morris rejoining the Clippers practice today after arriving late in Orlando, and his twin brother Markieff traveling to Orlando today. He will join the Lakers after his mandatory quarantine here in the hotel. Mark Spears reporting that Kings forward Harrison Barnes hopes to travel to Orlando today as well. Now, he previously tested positive for coronavirus, but now he's got a negative test on the books, is hoping to get one more so he can get the okay to get on the plane. And the NBA also announced Monday that of the 346 players tested in Orlando over the previous 7 days, zero, gentlemen, zero tested positive. Zero. Clippers head coach Doc Rivers explained this morning why he thinks the bubble has held so far. Take a listen.
League's doing pretty well in city management. You know, there is a lot of stuff we can do here. You know, but as far as our health, you know, we have an app every morning that you have to do. You're wearing bands. Everybody are wearing face masks. You know, when you're out in public, I mean, maybe we should send our game plan on to the White House.
I'm just going to do this and show you. I've got a band, too. So, you know, we are using all of these. Paul, by all accounts, the bubble has worked the first 2 weeks, but the NBA Finals is nearly 3 months from now. So do you trust this setup to stay intact for what could be 12 more weeks?
Do we trust this? Absolutely. You have no positive tests. Where's my plane ticket? I mean, shoot, me being out in the public right here, I have a better chance at catching COVID going to the grocery store. You have no positive tests going into the last 10 days less than 10 days before the regular season. I'm confident this bubble won't burst. You might have a few cases that turn up here and there, but I think the NBA has done a fantastic job at quarantining, at putting the necessary guidelines in place to keep the players safe.
Hey, I'm right there with you, Pete. Listen, Rachel, who is one of my favorite people in the world? Adam Silver. Thank God. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, the players, the coaches, everyone that's down there in the bubble, including you, Rachel, y'all need to give Adam Silver a bottle of wine, some flowers or whatever, because guess what? You could have Roger Goodell and things could be a lot worse. I just want to applaud the NBA, the Players Association, Chris Paul, and all of them for communicating and putting this together. Now, I know we just getting started, but to have zero cases in the middle of a hot spot, that speaks volumes to me. And also, you got to give credit to the people that's in the bubble because they're following the rules. They're making sure that their safety is first. So I just want to say kudos to them, and I'm glad that NBA analyst, and I could cover the best commissioner in sports and not on the other side covering football, and I'm going to leave it at that.
Well, Kendrick, I'm glad you mentioned...
It's costing a lot per day, too, to keep everybody
safe. That's true. Absolutely, Paul. And I'm glad you mentioned Chris Paul and Michelle Roberts, because we need to give props to the Players Association, too. I was talking to Chris Paul about that this morning. The effort that the players put in and the NBA put in to work together. You mentioned football. We saw over the weekend, football players felt they had to take to social media just to pressure the NFL into being partners with them on this. And the NBA never had that. The way that these two sides have worked together has been truly impressive. And the safety that's resulted so far, has been very impressive. Now, they do start scrimmages tomorrow, guys. That doesn't just mean playing against each other. It means that teams will start to be able to hop over between the different hotels to interact with each other. We've got more than 300 players in the same area until mid-August, and Perk, they're allowed to socialize, they're allowed to fish together, they're allowed to play golf together. Remember on the Olympics, Team USA is where we had a couple of these former super teams come out, certainly where Kyrie and KD became so close. Kendrick, do you expect the next super team to be formed here in Orlando right now this month?
No, I don't. Listen, the league is finally back to where it need to be. I think it's kind of pretty even throughout. And by the way, they don't need an NBA bubble to recruit players. We seen that with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. We seen that with Draymond Green making a phone call in the parking lot to Kevin Durant. I mean, we seen the trade make a trade happen between Russell Westbrook going to the Houston Rockets to team up with his longtime friend James Harden. So you don't need an NBA bubble. Listen, guys hoop year-round, guys hoop in the offseason together, social media, guys have different ways of communicating. If they want to form a super team, they got ways of forming it through agencies or whatever. I think, in my opinion, from me observing, being outside of looking in, guys are down there and they're focused. They're on a mission. So, yeah, they may be fishing together a little bit, but I don't think it's too much tampering. I think guys on the mission are down there for one reason, and that's trying to win the championship.
Listen, there's going to be a lot of new friendships being bonded down here. Guys are going to be around each other more than normal. And at the end of this bubble, there's going to be a lot of guys that's going to be unhappy with their situation. So I don't agree with you on that part. And guess what? Those guys who are in good situations, they're going to come calling. And they're going to be like, hey, you got a contract coming up. We got a trade on the table this summer. What you want to do? And I feel like because of this situation in the bubble, you will see some super teams come out of this.
So, Pete, you think people down there playing Blu-ray together? If they tested...
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen, if they tested... Zero people positive for coronavirus. People are social distancing and doing their part. I don't think guys are down there hanging out like that. That's just my honest opinion.
If you're testing negative for corona, that means you're safe to be around one another. So why not congregate? Why not make new friendships? Why not go to the car room? Let's play some pool. Let's talk about our situation when this is all over. You know, what you guys doing after the season? Let's travel here. I'm not happy here.
Hey, look,
man, trade for me over there.
Well, P, I tell you what, we can solve all this going back and forth. You want to put a friendly bet of 100 push-ups that a super team won't be formed because of the bubble? You want to bet that? We can stop up.
I bet you that in the next year or so, you're going to see, Perk.
Yeah, well, right. We'll see.
I'm telling you.
I am so excited to save this clip for the push-up battle going forward. We'll check in 1 year from now. Why don't we do that? To this date, future selves who are watching us now, we're going to check back in with you. Coming up, stay on this show because the NBA Bubble Life media account has taken off Twitter, Instagram by storm. We are going to reveal and have one of the co-founders on this show. Little New York Times blow-up spot. We will tell you who it is next. But first, we continue our countdown to the season. We're 9 days away, so here is a, you know, thunderous number 9.
With the analytics, Jim, I wonder, almost my favor missing.
That was a one-point game. They made it. So Adams launches it to True Shooter, catches and scores to tie it at 122.
And what a pass by Steven Adams again, folks. This may have been his best one all season as he hit him right on the money.
no, you're scared. You're scared.
Give me that. I found him though.
Well, we're gonna go down the slot.
Caught my fish. No time.
Let's start the day off. All I needed was a camera. I told you, boy. Taco Bell!
It's the Taco, the Taco Bell.
Yeah, buddy. I'm on the board.
Ooh. Oh. Can't nobody hang with me.
Oh, I.
Life inside the NBA bubble, of course, aggressively detailed throughout social media. But the best account, period, is NBA Bubble Life, which in less than 2 weeks, guys, accumulated more than 100,000 followers on Twitter. The true identity behind this account, it was a mystery. But we do have one of the account's co-founders here with us today. Oh, yes, Nick DiPaola! Not only ESPN's resident senior sneakerhead, but also one of the minds behind this NBA Twitter phenomenon. Nick, thanks for joining us. How did you guys decide to even start this? This is incredible.
So I've got a basketball group chat where basically we're talking about everything around the league at all times. It's a guy named Drew Ruiz, Trevon Edwards, and Wells Phillips. And so Thursday night when the guys were coming out of quarantine and just posting on social media, we were just joking about it. And I was like, I think this would take off if we launched it. So I sent that text at 10:07. J.R. Smith was on IG Live not long after. He also then got shut down right after that. And Drew launched out the first tweet. I think the first tweet was 49 minutes later, and it was off and running from there. And yes, that's our dramatic picture.
Hey, Nick. Paul Pierce here, man. I've just been wondering, what's been the most surprising interaction or response you've had in
Bubble
Life? Well,
that's probably been the funniest thing is that we've had so many people that didn't know it was us, and we're just still interacting with it just off the strength of the fun of it. The funniest one for sure was J.J. Redick, especially because he knows a lot about NBA Twitter, so he basically put out a challenge that if he got 10,000 retweets on a tweet about Bud Light, that he would do a shotgun of a beer. He gave us a 24-hour deadline. Mm. I think we hit it in like 12 hours, and then Myers Leonard hopped in. Jordan Clarkson hopped in, and it just took off from there. So that was definitely the funniest.
That's funny. You guys are finding ways to be entertained down there.
Absolutely. I like, by the way, that after you issued and you and JJ went back and forth, Nick, on that, that the Pelicans GM, David Griffin, was like, how many retweets to get him not to do it since he did not want his players shotgunning beer? You guys won that one, though. I have to say, you guys keep showing everyone's IGs and tweets of them fishing here at Disney. But a lot of them look familiar, and there is a conspiracy theory going around NBA Twitter that it's all the same fish. So, Nick, is this the same fish that every NBA player keeps catching and throwing back?
So I think after day two of everybody, after day two of everybody fishing, we got a DM from a guy that's in Orlando telling us that, that specific lake area is like one of the most dense bass fish areas in the state. But we were still suspicious. I mean, they're all throwing the fish back, and an hour later, somebody else is seemingly catching the same exact fish. So, I don't know. Some of these guys are set world records, it seems like, and catching fish left and right. But apparently, it's a great region to be fishing, and good for those guys being down there.
Well, Nick, I tell you what, I'm going to have my tackle box and my rod and reel ready. Because, listen, one thing about it, I'm looking down there, and Rachel, I said this, listen, when them guys got down to that billion-dollar bubble, they was going to have fun. But you got to understand, you talking to two guys that are on here and me and Paul Pierce that are outdoorsmen. We love to fish. Majority, about 50 to 60% of the guys in the NBA love to fish. They love to hunt. That's what we do. We have so much spare time. Fishing is a peace of mind. I grew up on the water. He know about me. I'm always pulling in them red snappers. I'm the best at it. I can't wait to get down there and get them bass. And Rachel, look, you might be right. They all might be catching the same fish because the rules are catch and release. So they might be catching the same ones.
Catch and release, baby. Nick, I got to tell you, I've been obsessed with this social media account to find out that it was actually you, our friend, who we work with. has blown my mind. I'm still not over it. You've already covered so much in so little time. So what do you guys want to accomplish now with this account, now that your identity has been revealed to the world?
Well, that was the biggest thing. We thought it would be fun. We thought people would interact with it, but it obviously escalated quickly beyond probably what we expected. And so I think the big thing we're really looking at is, obviously there's a lot of players looking to make social justice messages from inside the bubble, so highlighting when that happens. Mm-hmm. And then we're also going to be looking to launch a charity shirt that's going to impact and benefit the Black Nurses Association in Central Florida, which is actually based in Orlando. So obviously the NBA being in Orlando is a big deal for that region, but we want to try to do some good in that region as well with what else is going on in the state and what people are dealing with. So we think that could do a lot of good and be really impactful.
I love that. That is amazing. Now, before I let you go, you are our senior sneakerhead at ESPN, so I got to ask, what are the most exciting sneakers we might see in the bubble? Because guys were a little limited. They can't bring their entire sneaker closet, although I know P.J. Tucker tried.
So P.J. Tucker told me he packed three different duffel bags. He called it two 24s and a 16, and he actually has 91 pairs now. But the shifting of the timeline...
Wow.
Hopefully they go deep in the playoffs for his sake. But the shifting of the timeline is going to let some of the guys wear their signature shoes from the fall a little earlier. So we've got got Kawhi, we've got Donovan Mitchell, and Joel Embiid's going to debut his shoe too. So those shoes weren't supposed to come out until September, October. They're going to start wearing those early.
Okay.
That should be super exciting. And then obviously game to game, you never know what PJ is going to pull out, and he's got as much of a haul as you could have in there to wear whatever he wants. And then once guys found out that you could actually get deliveries, he's still been on eBay all the time in his free time trying to get even more stuff delivered.
Oh, my
so
God.
It never ends for PJ, and obviously he has a lot of fun with it.
Nick, I got a question. Listen, if I text you my size, man, make sure you just send Perk a little special care package, all right? I know they got some extra kicks laying around
over
there.
If you're a 13, 14,
baby,
15. I'll try.
This is all Nick gets anywhere. Nick, I'm glad you're behind this account with you and your friends. The four of you guys have done amazing work. It's really the Lord's work as far as I'm concerned. And now people can ask you about that instead of only asking you to hook them up with sneakers. We're thrilled that you came on. We're going to be looking at NBA Bubble Life. Everyone check it out for the rest of the way down here in Orlando. And everyone stay with us on the show too, because coming up, Rudy Gobert says he deserves to be in the mix for a third straight Defensive Player of the Year award. But should he win it? Perk and Paul are going to weigh in after the break. Saturday on ABC, a special two-hour NBA countdown. Maria, Jalen, Jay, Paul, we'll see you on there and so many more Saturday, 8 o'clock Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app. All right, it's crunch time here on The Jump. Today, we got our first look at the main court inside the bubble here at Walt Disney World. Black Lives Matter prominently displayed on the court, and the bench areas are arranged to promote social distancing. Paul, this is going to be hard. Do you think players and staff are going to keep their distance during games? Because when they're on the court, they're obviously not distancing.
I mean, this is my thing. If you're going to be in the game doing all this pushing and tugging and touching, what about in timeouts, Rachel? How are the timeouts going to go? You know, we're used to huddling and coming together. I'm not sure if it's going to be possible.
Listen, it don't matter to me, Rachel. I'm just excited that the Black Lives Matter is written big as day on the court. Great job by the NBA, but they're not going to be able to follow the rules. I agree with Paul for us. Being like social distancing, it's gonna be hard. You got guys who are gonna be competing, and timeouts, you gotta huddle up because you gotta pay attention in a timeout to what the coaches is saying and drawing up adjustments. So I don't see how they can keep that rule in effect.
Yeah, I think it's going to be sort of depending on the situation. They certainly understand that when it's stuff related to the game, you will have less social distancing. They also showed off to the media this morning some cool lights, ways fans can get involved in being, quote, in the stands, even though they won't really be in the stands. So there is some really, really, really cool stuff to come. We'll talk about that in the next few days. All right, guys, I want to get to this because yesterday Rudy Gobert was asked how he felt about his chances of becoming just the second player in NBA history to win a third consecutive Defensive Player of the Year trophy. And here was his response.
You know, obviously this year special year because we stopped the season kind of like at the time where the most important part of the season starts. So it's a different year. It's a lot of things happen, but I definitely think I should be in the mix. You know, it's about the things you do for your team, night in and night out. And, you know, we have guys that on other teams that done a great job too. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes.
All right. So Gobert has won the last two Defensive Player of the Year awards. Dwight Howard's the only guy who's won three in a row. So he would like to just at least have a shot to join Dwight Howard, but his name has not been mentioned that much, Perk. It's been Giannis, it's been Anthony Davis. Do you think Gobert is even in the conversation as far as you're concerned?
Absolutely, Rachel. Listen, he made the All-Star game not off of anything he do offensively, because he's averaging about 15 points a game, but he made the All-Star game just on his defensive impact on the court. And that says a lot, in my opinion. When you look at Rudy Gobert, yes, I get he's 7'3", 7'4", but he's athletic. And the unique skill that he do have, in my opinion, is that he blocks shots with both hands equally. People don't understand, as a shot blocker, it's hard to be right-handed and block shots with your left hand. And he do that at a high level. So when I'm looking at Rudy Gobert, will he win it? Absolutely not, in my opinion, because I've got AD and Giannis ahead of him, but he's definitely in the conversation.
Yeah, he's in the mix. I mean, he's established himself as a perennial all-defensive player of the year candidate. Will he get it this year? I don't think so. I think Giannis should be the lead candidate for player of the year, but he's going to be in that conversation every year. Just like we put LeBron in the MVP conversation mix every year, he deserves that. But will he get it? I don't think so. Not this year.
Who's in the conversation is always maybe a different question than who we expect to win. The NBA has announced awards voting will take place, and all the ballots got to be turned in before July 28th.